Hello, my dears, and welcome back to Main Character Energy with Josephine Moon. I know it has been a very long time. I'm sure you're shocked to hear this stunningly gorgeous, absolutely fabulous voice, but I've been busy and things have been going on, you know? And there hasn't been anything like too captivating, some would say, that I just needed to come back and jibber jabber with you guys. But this is going to be a two-part episode because there's actually a lot to talk about since it's been probably 2 months since my last actual episode. There's a lot to go over. So this episode is just going to be a recap and reviews of TV shows and movies that I've seen and watched over the past 2 months, such as Spider-Man, the new Sex and the City show, King Richard, House of Gucci, like a bunch of things we're going to talk about. And then next week's episode, the last episode of the new year, 2021, is going to be all the stories that have been going on, such as Astroworld, Kim and Pete, the Hamilton cast, finagle, whatever you want to call it. Before we get into all of that, just want to catch you up on what's been going on. It's weird, you guys, because I feel like the last episode that I did was like right before Halloween, and so much has changed since then. But that's like so much to get into, but it's also my fault for not popping on the podcast. And the one episode that I have done since then was like my birthday recap, which, as you can probably tell, caused a lot of drama, but I don't care. Life is life, and sometimes you need to know where you're at in life. Talking about the other people, not me. What's been going on? Halloween was as disappointing as you could possibly think. There were some good moments, but not interesting. My birthday, you guys know how my birthday went. It was, anywho, so let's move on to Thanksgiving. We're running through the weeks and the holidays. Thanksgiving was fabulous. I went home to see the local family in Texas, as they call it. I was there for about a week and a half. I took Miss Ginger with me. She got to meet the whole family and just have a scrumptious time. And now we are in Christmas time. I'm staying home for Christmas, Miss Ginger and I. I just didn't want to go back with Ginger. Sorry, that was like such a pause. Like, ooh, what happened? What's going on? The girlies are fighting. Are they? Who knows? No, but I just didn't want to go back with Ginger and like fly with her because that was like such a process when I went for Thanksgiving. Like, literally had to sneak her on the plane at LaGuardia for Thanksgiving, and I did feel like doing that again for Christmas, which is a hot mess. So we're staying here. We've got matching outfits that we're gonna put on tonight and do a little photo shoot in my apartment. I am about to go to a little Christmas event tonight with some friends and just drink my little heart away, and that's Christmas for me. You know what, that's weird. There's like so much to fill you guys in on. Like, there's been more people that have been ghosted and removed from my life. There's been some new people that I've met and had some interesting experiences. Okay, hold on. I'm sorry. I need to calm down. I need to get it together. There's just so much going on, but also nothing going on at the same time. Mr. Omarion is like rampant in New York right now, so it's like disgusting. Things are closing down. It's real ghetto in New York right now, some would say, but we are going to kick on because we have to. What are we doing for the new year? What are we doing? Possibly some events. My alleged parents are coming up for New Year's weekend, even though they weren't invited. Just kidding, mostly. So I don't know. The girlies are going to hit the town and see what happens. Anywho, I don't have much more to recap you guys on. I thought I had a lot to say, but I really don't want to talk about it. Okay, wait, actually, I have one thing that I want to talk to the crowd about. So I was hanging out with an individual the other day or night or whatever time you want to call it. And we were having this discussion about who are like the top five-ish top entertainers and musicians combined in our lifetime. So like the past 30 years, who are those people? And this person said, and I quote, Beyonce, Drake, Kanye, Chris Brown, Future, and Snoop Dogg. This was this person's top, was that six? Top six people
of our lifetime. And when I say like top artist and like, sorry, top musician and top entertainer, I mean both combined. Not like they're a really good entertainer, but they're an okay singer. They have to have both combined. Like, you can't dispute it. You know what I mean? So my people were, and this is of the past 30 years. I think I need to add like one more person to it because I did top five, but I think I could add two or three. My top five were Michael Jackson, Beyonce, Jay-Z, Mariah Carey, and Celine Dion. There's like two or three people that I could add to it, but like those are whatever. So I'm going to put a poll up on the Main Character Energy Instagram, as well as like a full post and on my personal, because I need to know. And if you're not a big listener, I guess, of good music and can tell the difference between an entertainer and a musician and an artist, please do not vote in this. If you have some people that you like to add to this or send in your top five, please do. But I'm going to post this up. I need you to tell me of our two groups who is considered correct, because I'm quaking in my boots right now, like quaking in my boots. I'm going to add one more person in there because I know it's going to help me get more points, even though I don't like this person. I feel like some people would consider this artist a great musician and entertainer, even though I don't feel that way. But I might add her in there. Oh my God, why didn't I add Bruno? You know what? I don't know if he's considered the greatest, though. I do love Bruno. Okay, I need to talk to my manager about this, but I'm gonna think about Bruno. I really am. Okay, anywho, I'm gonna put that up, and I need the girlies, you guys, to tell me of the two which one's the greatest, and then I need you to respond on the post who are your top five-ish, okay? And I need you to dig deep in the past 30 years. Past 30 years, okay? Thank you. Okay, so now that I've gone over that, I know it's been a really long time since you've heard this, but let's get into some stories. Okay, you guys, so we're gonna start with the first review slash recap, and that's gonna be the new Sex and the City show. I talked about this months ago when we first heard about it, but the first four episodes are out right now, and we need to discuss it. So, and just like that, let's get into this. I'm not loving the new show. And there's gonna be spoilers. Let me just say that from now. If you have not watched the first four episodes, you're a moron and you shouldn't be listening to this podcast. Let's just get that out of the way. First episode, big dies. We're seeing them in their late 40s, early 50s, I would assume. I think it's early 50s. It's just like, it's a lot going on. And it's very well known in the show that like they didn't have any representation of people of color, of different like sexualities, really. So they're really trying to like amp that up and be so ridiculously, overwhelmingly, quote unquote, woke that it's so cringeworthy. I was so uncomfortable. They're just throwing it all in there. Like Miranda has a new friend at like her, I was gonna say daycare, but her children are like adults now. Well, not adults, but like they're teenagers. And like the school, who's a person of color. And then, is it Miranda? Yeah. Miranda has, like, quit being a lawyer and is going to, like, the school, and her professor is a woman of color, and she just makes all these, like, really embarrassing, cringeworthy comments to the professor about her braids and things like that. Carrie is working at, like, this podcast place or whatever, and she's with a non-binary, bisexual person of color. And they're just, like, throwing so much at us, and it just, like, it doesn't really work for me. I'm sure for other people, it's like, oh, my God, yes, they're finally showing it to us. I'm like, they're not showing us in the right way. It's just, like, they're throwing it all out there in the first episode. We've covered it. It's a bit aggressive. It's just really awkward. So let's just get into the first episode, and we'll kind of go through it if I start to remember some things. So they addressed Samantha not being there pretty early on. Their whole reasoning for Samantha not being there is that the book business was dying, and so Carrie had to let Samantha go as like her publicist or whatever, and apparently that hurt Samantha's feelings so much that she quit her job there and moved to London and never spoke to the girls again, which makes no sense because literally Samantha was probably the actual richest one of them all, did not need Carrie. And from what we saw in the shows or the seasons before, it seemed as though Samantha was doing it for free because Carrie literally never had any money. So that makes no sense. And then at the end of the first episode, whenever Big dies from his Peloton, which is so comical, I really could not, even though I did get a little emotional, I'm not going to lie. It was a bit strange. The next episode at the funeral, like, Samantha sends flowers, and that was the end of that. It was just really weird and made no sense for her character. It would have made more sense for, like, I don't even know, but that didn't make sense. Them falling out over money? Wrong. Anywho, so they address that pretty early on in the episode, like, they got it out of the way so they continue on with their relationship. They're making Miranda possibly a lesbian coming up soon, like, her and Steve are just not vibing, which, I get what they're doing, like, they're putting every single character in situations that, like, happen when you get older, like, you start to drift away from your husband, you start to question your sexuality, your kids in this day and age are having a lot of sex, or they don't know what sexuality they are, like, there's so much, or you're getting older and you're becoming an alcoholic, like, they're literally throwing every single thing at us, and it's a lot, it's, like, a lot. They should have picked, like, two or three underlining stories and then stuck with that, but there's too much going on with each character. It's not great writing, I would say, but to be fair, I don't think it ever was really great writing. It was just, like, ahead of its time 30 years ago, so that's another conversation. Carrie's the same. She's always been so self-centered and so irritating and boring and, like, such a prude. It's kind of shocking how she had, like, a sex column in the 90s, but she's, like, so prudish. And if you, like, rewatch the episodes and even the movies, she doesn't actually really talk about sex that much. She's just, like, so coy and weird. And so whenever she's at the podcast place, her podcast job, they're just, like, going on about sex and masturbating. She's like, oh, I don't talk about those things. Like, girl, yes, you do. Like, get over it. Talk about it. So it's just weird and boring, but that's always been Carrie. I'm feeling like, I don't know if I just never really noticed Charlotte because she's just kind of like, she's just there, you know? Like, Samantha was kind of really the star, and then it was Carrie in my mind, and then it was Miranda equal with Charlotte. Like, they were just kind of there for me. But I've never really noticed how absolutely numbingly dull Charlotte is. And maybe it's just the way they're writing her in this new show. But, like, it's just, like, kind of embarrassing for her character. I need a little bit more growth from her. Like, she's just stayed the same, and I guess that does kind of make sense. You do have some friends that stay the same their entire lives, but I just need something different from her. It's not interesting or entertaining to watch in the slightest, like, at all. But her daughter is the one that she actually had, not the one that she adopted, is going to be, I'm assuming, non-binary or, like, questioning who she thinks she is. I guess that's, like, very prevalent to today, but I'm just not interested in seeing a story about the kids. Like, I really do not care. It's too much. It's too much, especially with, like, them trying to make Miranda a lesbian now. Like, I'm overwhelmed. I'm actually overwhelmed with it. Other than that, it's just, like, it's kind of a boring show. I feel like this last episode, we're kind of getting into, like, them back to normal. The first two was just, like, throwing everything at us. Like, Big dies. This last episode, Stanford, because he passed away in real life, he, like, goes to Asia and divorces his husband, whose name I can never remember. But it's not giving me anything. I'm not cackling. The outfits aren't amazing. Like, there's nothing that's really making me want to watch the show other than just watching it to watch it. And I really need people to I know I've said this, like, a million times, and hopefully this will be the last time I say it, probably not. I need people to stop doing remakes. Like, it's not necessary, and it really just ruins the previous show or the previous version of that show. And it's like, especially, like, now, like, they're bringing back shows from, like, the 80s and 90s, and, like, it's not the same. Now it's cringeworthy. Now it's uncomfortable. Like, I don't really, and I know it's offensive. It might be ageist. I don't care. I don't want to see these 50-year-old women, like, being boring. Like, that's not entertaining to me. I wish they would have made, like, a spin-off, maybe. Ugh, even that would be boring. But I think I would prefer a spin-off of them with, like, a person of color, like Samantha being a person of color and the new version of Carrie being a lesbian or something like that. Just, like, something different. I don't want to see these 50-year-old women doing that. I'm sure it's, like, great for women of that age, and I'm sure they relate to it so much, but it's not universal, and I don't want to watch that. I'm sorry. I don't. Other than that, there's not much to say about the show. I will be talking about the Chris Noth or Noth sex scandal in next week's episode because we'll just get into that next week. But on to the next recap review. There's so much to talk about, you guys. We've got TV shows, we've got movies. But the next thing I want to talk about is the new show Made on Netflix. This one's going to be fairly quick, but it's such a good show. It's very up and down with your emotions. And I feel like that's probably what they were kind of going for. Because I feel as though they're trying to make you feel as though a person who is in that situation. If you don't know about the show, sorry, I'm all over the place. Like, keep up with me, I'm drinking. It's Christmas Eve. Let's just keep up. it's about this girl who is in a domestic abuse situation, and it's her, like, trying to go to the government to get help, and, like, it's kind of showing how effed up the government is with, like, trying to help you and things like that, and her journey of, like, getting her life and her situation on track. But it's such a good show. It's very, like, heavy at times. Well, not at times. Like, every episode, like, it's triumphant, and then it's sad, and then it's heavy, and you're depressed, and then the clicking down of the amount of money she has in her account, like, there's just so much going on. It's such a good show, though. I'm not going to, like, fully spoil it, because I don't think many people have watched the show yet, and I do want you to watch it, but it's a very heavy show. There's generally a happy ending, but it takes a very long time to get there, and I would watch it during the daytime, because at nighttime, you just feel depressed, and you want to go to bed afterwards, so that's that on that period. Next show I'm going to talk about is Harlem. It's not really a good show at all. I feel like it's a newer version. It's kind of like what I said actually earlier. I feel like it's a newer version, a younger version of Sex and the City. It's like these four women. One of them is gay. One of them is like bisexual kind of, but mostly into men. The other is like the super smart professor, and this other girl is just kind of there. She's like the Charlotte of the group. But I feel like they're really trying to make it like Sex and the City, but just like a really dumbed down version with people of color. I don't enjoy it, but I watched all of it because like the guy in it is so attractive that I just had to give him the respect of watching the show. But I've never really noticed how cheesy or how bad of an actress Megan Good is. Like, she's stunning, but she's such a bad actress. I don't know if it's the writing of the show is so bad or if it's just all of their acting. Like, I've never really seen any of the other three women in shows before, so I can't really attest to their acting skills. But I love how I'm really not selling the show at all, but I just want to talk about it. But it's just like, it's really, I don't know where I was going with that. It's just okay. Like, it's good to put on in the background when, like, you're cleaning or you're just kind of, like, scrolling through Instagram and, like, you kind of get the gist of what's going on in the show while not having to, like, really pay attention to it. It's one of those shows. But I will be watching the second season because we ended on a nice little cliffhanger. We've got Whoopi Goldberg in there and Megan Good. Those are the only two people that you would know from the show. Everyone else I've never really heard of before. So if you want to watch it, give it a gander. It's on Amazon Prime, I believe. Next thing we're going to talk about is Real Housewives All-Stars. So that's on Peacock. I feel like I'm going from different streaming platforms to the next, but just follow my gist. So many verbal fillers. You know, quick side note. You can tell it's been a while since I podcasted, but quick side note before we get into the All-Stars. Whenever you like record yourself, you really hear the cadence of your voice and the verbal fillers. Like, anytime I do a podcast with someone else or like with a friend or family, whatever, you have to record yourself, you really hear like how someone actually speaks. Like, you're obviously listening to when your friends talk, but you don't really hear the ums and the oohs and the ahs and the likes and like them kind of stumbling over themselves and repeating themselves over and over. You don't really notice that until you're like listening to a podcast and you're editing them, and you're like, wow, they repeated the same thing three times, or they say or like a lot, and you do the same thing with yourself. Anywho, all that to say, oh my god, I think I'm losing my mind, or maybe I'm just drunk. It's one of the two, or maybe it's both. Anywho, I'm going to try my best not to do as many verbal fillers, but like, there is one! Let's get into Real Housewives All-Stars, Girls Trip, whatever the full title was called. I can't remember. Apologies. There was 7 episodes on Peacock. It's like the OGs, pretty much. It was like Cynthia, Kenya, Kyle, Melissa, Luann, and like 3 other people that I can't remember. I'm sorry. I should have done like proper research for this, you guys. I apologize, but I'm drinking and it's New Year's Eve and I can't be bothered. Sorry. And you know who I'm talking about if you've watched this, so whatever. Oh, and Ramona. And I think there's one other person, but that's all you really need to know. The show is 7 episodes and it pretty much revolved around Ramona and Kenya's drama. But it was just like really, it was really dull to kind of watch, but also very entertaining just to see like all these adult, nearly elderly women come together in like, was it Bora Bora? No, Turks and Caicos. Just to like flounder around and make drama and have conversations with each other. And like there were parts that were interesting to see, but in general, it was just like the Kenya show of her being like pretending to be like a super nice person when she's like literally Satan's mistress. And Ramona being Ramona and just like not knowing to say the correct things and being so horribly toxic as a friend, but she's an old woman and I think she's like going through dementia or something probably very soon. So it's just like unfortunate to watch, but there were some good moments. I'm glad we're never going to see Cynthia again on any type of Housewives because she's sinfully the most boring human being on the planet. Like, I think it's best that she's not coming back to Real Housewives of Atlanta because she never brought anything over the past like 12 seasons she's been there. She can go. Like, she's just, I wouldn't even say she's like a side dish because at least a side dish is brings something to the table. She's like the napkin that you throw on the floor. I know that's like mean to say, but it's so true. So dull. Like, it's not even needed. But it just didn't give what it was meant to give, and they're doing another version of this in the Berkshires at Dorinda's house, I believe, from Real Housewives of New York, with like some of like the second tier quote-unquote OGs, or like some of the more like crazier people that are going to bring drama because they haven't been on the show in a while and they're not really doing anything. And I think that'll be probably a little bit more interesting, but still probably very like sad and depressing to watch these like old women just like gaggle around. But that is technically what the Housewives is. But I want to see, I don't know, I think they should just stick to just the franchises that they have because they're, each franchise has like their own thing. Like Beverly Hills is the money. Atlanta is the pure drama. Like New York is just like rich, drunk old ladies, but it's entertaining. And all the other ones that I can't remember are just, oh, and Potomac is like, ooh. So it's like, I don't want to see them all mixing together because it just doesn't work all together. There are good moments, but we are going to move on to the next, which is, we are going to move on to the movie portion because I'm very, 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 very excited to talk about some of these movies. Some of them are going to be super quick because they don't deserve that much time. Okay, you guys, so, oh my god. Okay, so the first movie we are going to talk about, and let this be known, I am not a Marvel person. I'm not a part of the MCU, MCR, whatever it's called, Marvel Universe, DC Universe. I'm not a part of that. I really could give 2 F's about it. But I did just watch the most recent Spider-Man, what is it called? Away from Home, or I don't know what it's called, but the Spider-Man. Loved it. I was actually shocked. I was like, oh, I'll go see it. I actually didn't watch the trailer or know what the premise of the movie was about. So I just went in blind, hoping for the best. And I was thoroughly surprised, I must say. I did enjoy it. I won't give too many spoilers because I know it literally just came out a week ago. And I'm sure people are going to get all hot and bothered if I spoil the ending. Very good movie. Lots of lots of twists and turns, like a lot of nostalgic moments. A lot of idiotic moments at times as well. But I do actually want to talk about, which isn't a spoiler, I do want to talk about MJ and Mr. Peter Parker, because maybe it's just me. I do enjoy Zendaya and Tom Holland. Is that his name? Oh my God, I really should know people's names before I start talking about it on a podcast. But Tom and Zendaya. I think them in real life are super cute. Them on screen, especially in this movie, I just wasn't getting the love story from them. I don't know. Especially seeing like the past two Spider-Mans, like past two franchises. Andrew Garfield and Emma Stone, like that, I felt the love from both ends. I felt the tension. I felt just the sweetness from them both. And I guess same thing from the first one with Toby and the redheaded girl whose name I can't... Kristen, whatever. I felt their love stories. I really felt it, but I'm not feeling it with Tom and Zendaya, Mr. Peter Parker and MJ, most current. Like, they weren't giving that sensual moment that I was feeling. And maybe it's because, like, no, they're all still young. I just wasn't feeling it. And everyone's like, oh, well, if you watched the last movie, you saw them, like, kind of courting each other and, like, flirting. Like, yeah, I saw a little bit of flirtation, but I just don't feel like they, like, really liked each other as much as they should at the point of where this series is at. And I just wasn't, like, feeling it. Like, if she would have... Ooh, never mind. If she would or would not have possibly died in the movie, whether she did or she didn't, who knows, you'll find out. I would not, or I might have. I'm talking in riddles and I don't even understand what I'm saying. I would not be disappointed if she died in the movie or if she didn't have died in the movie. I don't know what I'm saying right now. Regardless, I just wasn't vibing with it, and she would not be missed if she died or if she didn't die. I do think that Doctor Strange was a good part of the... Can I spoil that? No, I think it's in the trailer. Whatever, I don't care. I do enjoy Doctor Strange. Actually, no, I don't. I did enjoy his movie, but in this particular Spider-Man movie, I did like him. I thought he was trying to do, like, the best thing for the crowd, and Mr. Peter Parker was just being an absolute, like, honestly a dumbass, but... He's a young child. What do you expect? He's, like, pretending to be in love with this girl who, like, low-key really doesn't like him. But that's, you know, for another conversation for another group of people. But all in all, I would give the movie 4.5 stars out of 5. It was, like, 15 minutes too long, I must say. But it was still really good. A lot of good action. A lot of good twists and turns. And some just, like, sweet moments that made me, like, remember why I enjoyed the movies. Okay, that's all I can say about it, because I don't want to spoil anything. But I feel like everyone knows, whatever, I don't want to spoil anything, because I didn't know what was going to happen, so whatever. Let's move on to Spencer. I saw this movie about a month and a half ago, I believe. And again, we talked about this pairing on the podcast like a long time ago, about Kristen Stewart playing Diana Spencer, Lady Di. And I was like, this is going to be interesting, because I feel like she's one of those people who's like, she's kind of a good actress, but she's also been in a lot of crappy movies at the same time, but her personality is very awkward and strange, so it just kind of like, I feel like that sometimes overshadows her acting, but in general, I think she's a good actor when she's, but I wasn't really seeing this connection of her playing Lady Di. It was just a bit strange for me. But let's get into the movie. So it's supposed to take place over like 3 or 4 days, like right before, I believe she like files for divorce from, I was going to say Harry, from Charles, that beast of a man. This is supposed to be one of those movies that's like, I was going to say it's similar to Get Out, but it's literally not similar to Get Out in any type of way. Get Out was not what I was meaning to say. It's very similar to like those, what's that director's name who does all those like weird movies? Hold on. Okay, what I was meaning to say was M. Night Shyamalan, whatever. You guys know what I'm talking about, who do, like, the Glass movie and, like, that whole series where his movies are, like, kind of, like, really strange and, like, eerie and whatever. This, I feel like this was supposed to be that type of movie for Spencer. So it wasn't supposed to be, like, a biopic of, like, the last 3 days there. It was supposed to show, like, her mental health and her comparing herself in her mind to, I can't remember who, because there were so many times that I fell asleep in the movie and I woke back up and it was the same scene. But
I think the way they portrayed her in this movie was, it was strange to me. Because I don't think any time that you've watched anything about Diana Spencer that you've kind of felt for the royal family or for anyone else. And I don't know if this is just me. But like the way they portrayed her in this movie, I was like, I felt bad for Charles and I felt bad for her family. Like how crazy they were making her seem. And I get it. They were supposed to show how unstable she was around that around the family and how uncomfortable she was. But like the moment she was like most at peace and like happy was when she was with a kid. So they were showing us a stark difference between the two, but the difference that they did was just so extreme, it seemed, and that it just made her seem so like psychotic in like the worst way. And you didn't really feel, at least for me, you didn't really feel bad for her. You're just like, oh my god, just like get it together. I get you're young and you don't like this family, but like watching that movie did not make me feel any type of way for her. So it's very strange. I felt the acting was generally very good. I think the storyline, maybe it's not the storyline, I feel like the script could have been more. The cinematography was good, but like I feel like it's pretty easy to have like gorgeous cinematography when you're like placed at a castle and it's just like a lot of scenic shots of like the grass or the sheep or like random little things of like royal duties and stuff like that. It's easy to make it look stunning when it's just like simple, you know? So I don't know if this should be nominated for an Oscar next year. I think it might just because it's been such a lackluster 2 years of movies that I feel like anything that's come out in the past 8 or 9 months, or I guess the past year, I feel like anything is going to get nominated, even though it probably shouldn't, just like slim pickings, you know? But I do think her acting was good. Her accent was not very good, I must say. There were moments where it's like, all right. Like, it was good, but in general, I feel like her accent did not properly stay consistent throughout the whole movie, so it kind of took you out of it multiple times. But all in all, it was, I would say a three out of five. You know, a 3 out of 7. 5 is just like, it's a little too close in the numbers. You know what I mean? Too close. Okay, so that's that for that on that on that. We're gonna move on to House of Gucci. Father, son, House of Gucci. Watched that this past weekend, actually. I wanted to watch like 3 movies in particular before I recorded this episode because I needed to discuss it. So I watched House of Gucci, and I don't think I've ever seen a longer movie in my life. I could have sworn that time just stood still. The movie was literally 8 hours long. It just like never seemed to end, and I feel like a lot of things could have been taken out. I feel like the storyline is something that could have been like a great like limited series on like Hulu or HBO, because it just wasn't interesting enough to be a 3-hour movie. I think they could have added a lot more and like deep dove. I feel like I don't know English today. I feel like they really could have delved in to the story and the people and like the side characters of it all in a limited series of like 5 or 6 episodes, rather than a 3-hour movie kind of thrown together. And it's just like, what is the point of this? It just wasn't it. There were some good moments. I think the acting generally was good. I think Lady Gaga did a good job, but I feel like she also overly acted a lot of the scenes, to where it felt like she was doing a music video where you just like overdo things because you have to. I heard a lot of comments like the accents were so bad, like it's an Italian movie with American people, like, and they're doing American accents. Oh, sorry, they're speaking in English, so obviously it's gonna be like really cheesy. But it wasn't really that bad, I don't think. I just did not enjoy her acting in this. It was a little too goddish, a little too like theater in the wrong type of way. But it was, I don't know if I could say it was a good movie, because I didn't really leave taking away anything from it, other than it was a like ridiculously long movie, and the 2 old women that were sitting next to me, like literally they just got off the freaking train from Long Island, like they spoke throughout the entire movie. They like kept looking up each actor on their bright screens, yelling about every moment. So idiotic. Like, I would rather sit by the youths, the teenagers,
in Spider-Man than sit by these two old biddies in this movie. It was so irritating. I think if you're a big fan of a lot of people in the movie, like, I can't remember the guy's name, but Lady Gaga, Jared Leto is his name, I believe. No. It's Jared Leto, right? Yeah. Jared Leto, Adam Driver. Like, if you like all those people in the movie, then, like, give it a watch. But I would wait till you can rent it in, like, 5 months on Amazon for $5 rather than going to the movies and paying $20 to see this four-hour movie. Like, you're going to want to put it on pause. You're going to want to make some food. You're going to want to make a cocktail and then sit back down and watch the other 2.5 hours of the movie because it's so ridiculously long. What am I going to rate that movie? I'm going to rate House of Gucci, probably the same as Spencer, a 3 out of 7. A 3 out of 7. It has to be said. Let's move on to the next, a slightly better movie. So I watched King Richard as well this weekend. Like, it's just been a weekend of movies because, like, as I said, Mr. Omarion is reeling his ugly little head in New York. So you can't really do anything except for watch movies and drink. So I watched King Richard this past weekend, and that is on HBO. Oh, I think it might have just been taken off, so you might have to rent it now. But it was on HBO. And I will say, I enjoyed the movie. It kind of surprised me because the movie is mostly about Venus and her dad. Serena is not really... Serena's career, especially, like, them... You assume the movie is going to be about Venus and Serena, like, starting off when they were younger. It really is not about both of them. It's 90% about... Not even 90. 98% about Venus and 2% about Serena. Like, she's barely in the movie. Like, she's really irrelevant. It's kind of strange. But it's mostly about Venus and her dad. And her dad was, like, crazy and psychotic, but had a dream for them and, like, made it work for them. So I guess it's good. But it was a really good movie. It had some moments in there that didn't seem necessary. But all in all, I enjoyed it. Like, I do think they should have... I think they could have skipped past, like, the whole juniors part of it. Like, Venus on her way to becoming pro at, like, 14 or whatever. I think they could have kind of skipped through a lot of that and kind of gone back and forth on Venus and Serena, like, winning their first Wimbledon, winning their first US Open, winning their first whatever, like, getting their first deals. I feel like they could have gone to show us, like, them until, like, 10 years ago when they were still, like, at the top of their league, rather than, like, them as 12, well, Serena was, like, 9, but Venus is, like, a 12-year-old girl. It just... It's nice to see their, I guess, upbringing and, like, how intense it was and how crazy it was and how they defied all these things and blah, blah, blah. But, like, no offense to Venus. Like, it's gonna be offensive. I really don't care. No offense to Venus, but, like, when you think of watching a movie about the Venus sisters, oh my God, the Williams sisters, you assume it's mostly gonna be about Serena and then Venus is gonna be in there as well. I just didn't want to see a movie about Venus. It wasn't interesting to me. Her being interesting. Movie was great. 4 out of 5. But, like, I want to see both of them. I really do. I think it would give you more respect and maybe some more understanding to where Serena's at right now and why she doesn't want to retire when she should. Because the past, like, four or five years have been an embarrassment. But, you know, everyone's got their choices to make in life. Anywho, next movie we are going to discuss, we've got two more, and then I'll think about how I feel. So the next movie we're going to discuss is Tick, Tick, Boom, which I must say was a pretty good movie. I think of all the movies that I've discussed, movies and TV shows I've discussed today, Tick, Tick, Boom would probably be one of my favorites. I watched it over Thanksgiving. And I thought it was a really good movie. For some reason, I didn't really know too much about his career other than Rent. Like, when you think of Jonathan Larson, if you know the name, you just think of Rent. I didn't really know the stuff that he had written before, even though it didn't really get much notoriety or much fame. You just don't really think about it. But I really enjoyed the movie. I think, though, there are just some moments... And by some moments, I mean some actors who I just... It was just a lot for me at times. I can really tell how Lin-Manuel from Hamilton directed this. I could really see his, like, imprint on this. And, like, certain things were good and certain were just, like, I'm not vibing with it. But generally, I enjoyed the movie. I really wish they would have recasted the person who played, or the character played by Vanessa Hudgens. I'm realizing, and I don't know if I'd say I'm realizing, I've realized this a very long time ago, I do not enjoy her voice. Sorry, I really can't speak today. Just bear with me. I really do not enjoy her voice because it's just very, like, I don't know if strident's the right word. I just feel like she's never on key. She's just, like, always missing it by, like, just, like, a half step. And it really just takes me out of it. So anytime she was singing, I just wanted to scratch my eyes out and my ears out. But who would have known Mr. Andrew Garfield, the love of our lives, the best Spider-Man, some would say, hands down, was a singer. Like, good for you, Mr. Andrew. I was quite impressed. I thought the movie was really good. I loved all the moments that they paid respect to other artists and composers and Broadway stars. There were so many Broadway people that has popped up. They gave a moment to Sondheim, who passed away, and he was a character that was supposed to play him. It was briefly in the movie, like literally like a week or two before he passed away. But there was just like, there were a lot of beautiful moments, and I enjoyed this movie thoroughly, even though I feel like I'm backtracking at times, but I really did enjoy the movie. I just wish Vanessa wasn't in it, and I wish Lin-Manuel would just kind of chill out a little bit on some of the way he directed certain things. But, you know, it is what it is. Okay, so what am I going to rate that movie? I would have to give it a 4.7. Since it was my favorite, and I think I gave one of the movies a 4.5, I would give this a 4.7. It's on Netflix. Give it a watch. The last movie we're going to speak about, and it's going to be so quick because I literally fell asleep 3 times and the movie was still going, was No Time to Die, which was the latest and last Bond movie with Daniel Craig. I rented it for $20 on Amazon Prime. I had 24 hours to watch it, and I watched the first 45 minutes and was confused and bored, and I fell asleep, and I woke up, and I felt like I was at the same scene, went back to sleep, woke up again. The movie still had like an hour and a half to go. So I just gave up on it, and I'm just going to assume it was a good movie. I'm going to wait till I can rent it for $5 and really commit to it, and I guess take some Red Bulls or order some crack cocaine or something to keep me awake, because literally, it just seemed to drag. I don't know what it was about the movie. It just seemed to drag, and it didn't seem to go anywhere. It was just like a lot of action and no storyline, which I can generally kind of go for, but I need a storyline to weave into the action. It can't just be one with a dash of the other. That doesn't vibe with me, not one bit. So I'll give it another watch another time, because I have heard it was a really sweet movie. That's a weird thing to say about a Bond movie. It was a really good movie, but I cannot confirm or deny that because Mama kept falling asleep because it couldn't keep my attention. So those are the recaps and the reviews, things that you should watch, Tick, Tick, Boom, King Richard, and Spider-Man. Things to just have on in the background if you're bored, Sex and the City, Harlem, that's really it. Oh, an honorable mention for Maid, of course, but watch that with like, you know what, watch it on a sad day. Actually, no, that might make you like actually suicidal. You know what, just watch it on your own accord. There's going to be a part 2 episode that's going to come out next week before New Year's, and I'm going to go over the past month and a half of stories, and there's a lot to discuss. But until then, the other two shows that I will be recapping and reviewing on next week's episode as well is the final season of Insecure, which is on HBO. The last episode comes out this Sunday, and Emily in Paris season 2 literally came out like 2 days ago, and I will be discussing it because I'm halfway through and I already have so much to say. So until then, oh, one final note. Remember, go to the Instagram. I will literally start tagging people in it. I need you guys to tell me your top 5 artists/entertainers/musicians. They have to be all 3, okay? They can't just be one or the other. They need to be all 3. If you can't give me a top 5, give me like just a few names. I'm going to put a poll on the story, and I'm also going to do a post as well. Please comment, because we're going to talk about that and the first episode of 2022. Other than that, everyone, have a wonderful holiday, a wonderful Christmas if you celebrate it, and goodbye, my dears.